It's a good job that when God made you, he threw away the mold. Imagine if you're on your summer holiday and you walk down the beach in Alicante and walking towards you was a precise copy of you. And as that person walked towards you, it felt like you were staring in the mirror, you know, the same height, the same width, the same face, the same eyes, same hair if you've got any. An exact carbon copy of you. Well, the good news for the world is there will only ever be one of you. No one like you in history, nobody like you in the future. You could wind the clock back 4,000 years to the time of Abraham and walk across the world and you won't find anyone like you or any time in between. Or you could, if you could, fast forward the clock 4,000 years and there you are sitting on the latest beach resort on Mars and you still won't find anybody like you. There will only ever be one like you. When God made you, he threw away the mold. Listening to Radio 4 on a Sunday morning a couple of weeks ago, and just before 8 o'clock, before the news, they each week have somebody give an appeal for a charity that's their particular interest, and all kinds of things come up on that, some of them things we would know about, but some of them quite obscure. And this particular one a couple of weeks ago was from someone who was concerned to protect the habitat of orangutans. Really important, that obviously, for those that are really concerned about orangutans. But one of the things he said as he made his little appeal on the radio for people to give funds was, did you know, he said, that orangutans have 96% the same DNA as you? It's a nice thought, isn't it? 96% the same as an orangutan. Of course, what he didn't say is you're also 96% similar to pigs, but we won't go there. And what he didn't say either was that they discovered, I think it was 5 years ago, that we're also 99% the same as lettuce. Now, that was an even more interesting thought for you to chew over as you have your salad lunch. You know, it reminds me of that moment. If you follow the BBC Promenade concerts in the summer, they just started just a few weeks ago. And very often when they show these, they always take place in the Royal Albert Hall. And when they showed the beginning of the promenade season, they've done this a number of times now, they love to show that clip of that famous moment in the Morecambe and Wise show, if you ever remember seeing any of those. If you haven't, they get show this particular clip many times. And it's a moment when Andre Previn is conducting the BBC Symphony Orchestra in a production of Grieg's Piano Concerto. And it begins with Andre Previn conducting the orchestra, this dramatic opening sequence to Grieg's Piano Concerto, and then he looks across to Eric Morecambe, who's sitting at the grand piano, and say, you know, it's your moment to play the opening solo piece of the concerto, and off Eric Morecambe goes playing honky-tonk piano. And in his own inimitable style, he's looking across at the camera. And then there's this pause, and then Andre Previn walks across to the grand piano and looks at Eric Morecambe as he's playing there. And then finally, Eric Morecambe stops playing and looks up to say, what's the problem? And Andre Previn says to him, you're playing the wrong notes. Eric Morecambe looks at the camera in his own inimitable style, and then he looks back to Andre Previn, and slowly he stands up, grabs Andre Previn's collars and pulls him towards him and says, listen, sunshine, I'm playing all the right notes, but not necessarily in the right order. It's a fantastic moment in the Eric Morecambe and Wise show. But it's an interesting reminder for us that our DNA individually is unique. Your DNA fingerprint is different to anyone else who's alive across the face of the earth today, anyone else that's ever lived or ever will live. That's an incredible truth. It's also particularly useful for the police, because that crime that happened in Bournemouth last night, if you left any trace of your DNA there, they will get you. Because it will be the proof that it is you. You are unique. When God made you, he threw away the mold. The psalmist, David, probably thankfully didn't know anything about DNA, but he did know that he was unique. And in the words of one of his psalms, his great poems or songs, he says this, and we've heard a bit of it already this morning. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderfully, of course, sounds fine, doesn't it? It speaks of beauty, it speaks of uniqueness, it speaks of craftsmanship, wonderful, intricate design. After all, we all like to think we're wonderful, don't we? You are wonderfully made. But fearfully made, that's a little bit more uncertain, isn't it? It sounds like a maker to be scared of rather than to be praised. Except that a better translation for that word fearful is the word awesome. You are awesome. That's a word for our times, isn't it? You are awesome. One song we sing says, I stand in awe of you. So glorious and true. I stand in awe. I stand in awe of you. There's another song we sometimes sing which says, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. Here's the wonderful truth. God is and may be awesome in this place, but so are you. I am fearfully, I'm awesomely and wonderfully made. Amazing when you think of it, isn't it? Of our own bodies and the way life happens for us, the way it functions, the beating of your heart. You don't have to think about it. It happens all through the day, all through the night, regularly, consistently, reliably, keeping you alive. When you breathe, even when you're asleep, you still breathe, hopefully. And it's still bringing oxygen into your blood and into your body to nurture your life. And when you think of the amazing wonder of your senses, your ability to see, to hear, to taste, to touch, all these wonderful senses that we are given in order to experience the world. And of course, at the heart of it all, connected not electronically but chemically, is this wonderful, amazing organ, this computer that drives your life, your brain. Admittedly, some have faster processors than others. Some have a few more memory chips than others, but we all have that brain which keeps us alive, and it is amazing in your body. You are awesomely, fearfully, and wonderfully made. And of course, beyond all those physical realities is that spiritual truth that you also have a living soul, a living spirit, which will outlast your body, will live for eternity, only ever one of you. David, of course, who wrote that psalm, Psalm 139, that I just read to you, also wrote many other songs, many other poems, which describe his own experience of God, what God was like. And you have that picture of David as a young man when he was a shepherd out on the hillside at the end of a busy day when he's been looking after these rather wayward sheep. And he comes to the end of his duties for the day, and perhaps it's a dark night, a clear sky. No light pollution in those days. And he looks up at the sky and he just wonders at the amazing truth of creation. Pastor Mark was reminding us of a moment ago. Just wonders at it. He takes time to stand and stare. It's good to do that. Take time to stand and stare. And as David saw that, took time out from his busy life, he also wrote the words of yet another psalm, if I can get my New Testament and Psalms here to open at the right place. Psalm 8. And he says this, and he probably wrote these words when he was a shepherd, but I imagine somehow David thinking of these same words later on when he was now king of Israel, the greatest king Israel ever had, a powerful king, a king whose life was so full, so significant, so important, and so busy. And yet you imagine David taking time out, probably again, to walk out under that clear sky at night and look up and wonder and take time to stand and stare. And he says this, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man, that you care for him? You made him a little while lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim in the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. I read an article online on Christianity just the other day, which was an article just speaking of the wonder of God's design of our world. But in the middle of the article, the writer says that God has designed us with a whole set of preset personalities, interests, and choices. And as I read that article, I thought, actually, I don't agree with that observation. See, I don't believe God has predetermined your interests, your personality, your choices. These are things that come from our own decisions. They're our own choices. The decision that we make whether to go God's way or to go our way, to do our own thing or to do what God says. A couple of weeks ago, I had the privilege of speaking and took that amazing story from 1 Chronicles 7 of Jabez, whose name means pain because his mother bore him in a painful childbirth and she called him pain. And Jabez chose not to be defined by the name his mother had given him. He chose not to be defined by what other people called him. Instead, he cried out to God and said, Lord, bless me. Lord, lead me. Lord, keep your hand upon me and protect me. Lord, enable me to make a difference, to be somebody of significance in the world. God doesn't make you with preset choices or personality. These things come from our own decision, our own choice. We're into the summer holiday season. Schools have broken up. Hooray, say the teachers and the children. But it's an opportunity, summer, isn't it, to take a bit of time out of the busyness of life, when perhaps the pressure is off, you can take your foot off the accelerator and you can begin to just stand back, maybe just to stand and stare. Take a moment to gaze at the night sky, the wonder of the heavens, and to realize what David probably couldn't have realized in his period of history, that as you look up into the night sky and you see those pinpricks of light, not only are many of those suns like our own sun, but so far away they're just a pinprick of light, that in fact many of those pinpricks of light are actually galaxies, the size of the Milky Way galaxy, but so far away they're just a pinprick of light in the vastness of the universe that God has made. Time to stop and stare, time just to take out of the busyness of your life. And maybe a time in the summer to ask yourself questions about your life. Am I in the right job? It's a good question to ask. Do I have the right friends? Do I need to think about making new friendships? Do I need to think of new activities to be involved in? Do I need to rethink my priorities, the things that are important in my life? Summer, it's a great time to take time out and to think and to reflect and to ask those questions about our lives. Time to stand and stare. Perhaps in a sense, time to hit the reset button and to rethink who you are and who you are called to be. Also a moment to think this, that when God made you, he may have thrown away the mold, but he didn't throw away the design. He didn't throw away the design. He sent his son into our world, made like us in every way, the perfect design, the one who is, if you like, the template for you and me to match our lives to be like, to long to be like, and to search our lives so that we become more and more like him. We're told in the Bible the Son laid aside his deity, emptied himself by taking a human form. He came not just to be the messenger from God, not just to lay his life on the cross, but he also came to set us an example that we should follow his steps, to be the perfect template for our lives to follow. The reality is this, that we're made to be different. We're not made to be clones of anyone else. We're not made to be carbon copies of everyone else. We're made to be different. It's one of the amazing things about our modern culture, isn't it, that we have this fixation with brands. You have to have the right brand of car. You have to have the right brand of clothes. You have to be branded in one way or another. You know, I always used to think that if something was branded, it meant it belonged to somebody else. We're called to be different. There is only one brand that matters. And it's not about designer clothes. It's about being fearfully and wonderfully made. Made to be the image of God. Paul puts it perfectly when he says in Ephesians 2 verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. Way back in the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah was called to be God's spokesman to his generation in a time in Israel's history, which was one of the darkest times in Israel's history. It would be a time when they would go through the destruction of their city, Jerusalem, and they would all be taken into exile. And Jeremiah had the unenviable task of being God's spokesman to that generation in all that they went through. But right at the beginning, when God called Jeremiah and began to prepare him for the task that he was going to give him to do, he says this in Jeremiah 1 verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I knew you. God knows you this morning. He knows exactly who you are and what you can be, what he indeed wants you to be. It's a truth, isn't it, that every life matters to God. Every life matters to him. But that means you matter to him. You matter to God. What you do, how you live, the choices that you make. Our potential, of course, is so often marred by our own choices, so often our own sins, our own failings, sometimes by the failings and sins of others, sometimes what's made us what we never chose to be. Some have such a difficult upbringing, such a difficult background. But the truth is, every life matters to God, and you matter to God. What you do, how you live, the choices you make. And no matter what mistakes we may have made up to this point, it's what you do now that matters. How you change that, how you decide to be what God wants you to be. Because the truth is this, that the one who made you in his image can also remake you into that image. He can make you what he wants you to be. God may have thrown away the mold when he made you, but the design is still there. The choice is yours. Go your way or embrace the plans that he has for you. I'd like just to encourage us, really, in this summer season, in this summer period, to reflect on the wonder of our own uniqueness. So when you look in the mirror, say, thank you, God, for who I am. Thank you for what you've made me. Thank you for what you're going to make me into as I make the right choices for my life in the days to come. Renew our commitment to follow him. Paul says, doesn't he? Follow my example as I follow Christ's example. Wonderful thought, isn't it? That we can not only be like him as he wants us to be, but we can then become an example to others. We can have a purpose that can change other people's lives as we set that choice, as we set that example, if we reflect that design to those that we meet day by day. To be more like him than you already are, to be what he wants you to be. Song says this, who am I that the highest king would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. We sang this earlier, who the Son sets free is free indeed. I am a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. As the worship team come back to lead us as we close our service this morning, let's just pray together, shall we? Father, thank you for the uniqueness that each of us has. Thank you, Lord, that we're not copies of anyone else, that each of us is unique. You threw away the mold. Each of us, individual, never to be replaced, never to be repeated. But Lord, each of us also with the incredible potential to be made after your image, made after your design, to reflect you to those around us, to be an example to them that they may copy the design that is true for them as it is for us. Lord, this morning we praise you that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. In Jesus' name, amen.